Stop wasting time searching for deals on the guns and gear you want. Let Gundelio do the work for you. Download Gundelio for free, enable notifications, and start saving. You'll find hot deals, exclusive offers, and more. Trigger the deals. Gundelio.
I'm so glad you could be here. I'm Tom Gresham, and, well, this is Gun Talk. We're going to be talking about guns for the next hour or so. Shotguns, rifles, handguns. And in the handgun category, we have pistols and revolvers, as well as other types of action, single shots, of course. If you're a gun owner, this is a good place for you, you know. We're going to talk about the things that you know, the things you enjoy. If you're not a gun owner, but you're thinking about buying a gun, well, this is absolutely the place for you. We can help you out. And if you just don't like guns at all, you might want to hang around. In fact, let me do this. I will offer you the floor. If you think we have a gun problem, I would like for you to explain to me what you think that problem is. Our number for all subjects, because we're open lines right now, is 866-TALK-GUN, or just called me, Tom, at Tom Talk Gun. All right? Interesting stories coming out of the news. Allegheny County, that's in Pennsylvania, sets unprecedented spike. They see an unprecedented spike in demand for concealed carry guns. Prior to Pennsylvania's aggressive response to the pandemic, in March, the Allegheny County Sheriff's Office would typically process roughly 40 to 80 applications per day. That's a lot. 40 to 80 applications per day for a concealed carry permit. In the wake of shutdowns and stay-at-home orders, the office was closed for several weeks and then reopened by appointment only. For the past several weeks, I'm reading this story, it says, the office has processed between 250 and 300 applications per day, with lines extending from the ground floor firearms office in the Allegheny County Courthouse's courtyard out to the street, and some days wrapping three-quarters of the way around the block. Chief Deputy Krause says, the lines of people have been extremely long. People are waiting 2 to 3 hours standing in line to get a gun license. Why would people do that? Why would people subject themselves to that kind of delay, putting up with that kind of bureaucratic nonsense? Because they're law-abiding people who want to protect themselves and their family. They want to be able to take care of their kids. Who is going to take care of their kids? Not the state. Not the city. Not the police. Not the firemen. The only people who are going to take care of their kids is them. Your job is to protect your family, whether you are the mother or the father, the husband or the wife. Your job is to protect your family. You can do that in a lot of different ways. You can certainly ramp up your awareness. You can prepare. You can have locks and lights and alarms. You should have multiple fire extinguishers in your house, not just one, but multiple good fire extinguishers, fresh fire extinguishers. And, please, ask the question. Make sure everybody in your home from about age 4 up knows how to operate a fire extinguisher. You will be amazed how many adults will say, I really don't know how to do that. Really? You pull the pin, you aim the nozzle, and you squeeze the handle at the base of the fire, and then swish it back and forth, left and right. Pull, squeeze, sweep. You'd be amazed how many people don't know how to do that. When I say that, every time I say that, people come back and say, well, you know, it's weird. I ask my fill-in-the-blank, wife, husband, children, friends, coworkers, they didn't know how to work a fire extinguisher. Really? Are you kidding me? Back to my point, though. You can't depend upon somebody else to take care of that for you, nor should you. They don't expect you to. Ask a police officer. He or she will say, it's up to you to take care of the situation until we can get there. Your fire extinguisher is there for you to take care of the situation until the fire department can get there. It's not there to replace the fire department. And no one ever said, no one in his right mind at least, ever said, you don't need a fire extinguisher because we have a police department, or rather a fire department. Nobody ever said, because we have a fire department just down the street, you don't need a fire extinguisher. That would be crazy, right? Who in the world would say the same thing about guns? You don't need a gun because we have a police department. That's their job. You hear people say that. You need to leave that to the professionals. Really? I should leave my house fire to the professionals too? The parallels are perfect. And no, I'm not going to leave protection of my family to someone else. What kind of a ne'er-do-well cad would I be if I said, I am not going to take care of my family? I'm going to leave it up to somebody I never met before. I'm going to call somebody on the phone, somebody I've never met before. I'm going to hope they answer the phone. And then I'm going to tell them I got a problem. I got people breaking in my door. I got people coming into my door with guns. Would you please, pretty please, see if you can send somebody over here with a gun? Meanwhile, I'm going to let these bad people do whatever they want to do to my wife and my children and my daughter. And when the cops get here in 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes, an hour, they can write up the report on what just happened. Because I chose not to have the means for protecting my family. I chose not to get training. I chose not to be a responsible adult and take care of my family. That's why people are lining up around the block to get their carry permits, and they shouldn't have to. You should not have to ask Mother May I to exercise your constitutional rights. And carrying a gun, whether openly or concealed, is a Second Amendment right. It says keep and bear. Bear means carry. You should not have to ask permission. You should not have to fill out a form. You should not have to have a waiting period. You should not have to pay any money. You should not have to take a class to exercise your constitutional rights. Also in the news, from the probably not a rocket scientist category, a man on parole for carjacking a Chicago Tribune reporter in 2017 was arrested Wednesday after accidentally shooting himself in the leg during a traffic stop. About 12:45 p.m., they've got their names, we're not going to give those out. During the stop, officers heard a gunshot and discovered that Evans had shot himself in the upper right leg with a weapon that was in his pants, police said. Police drove him to the University of Chicago Medical Center for treatment. He was charged with one felony count of unlawful use of a weapon by a felon and one felony count of reckless discharge of a firearm. He was also charged with a misdemeanor count of obstructing identification. Yeah. Remember, this is the guy who has the felony conviction, who's carrying the pistol, who you have to protect your family from. He does not obey any rules. He does not obey any laws. And he most certainly does not care anything about the safety of your family. And he most certainly does not have any mercy. So hoping for mercy, planning for mercy, counting on mercy from those who have none to give is both idiotic and irresponsible. I've had people say, are you saying that if I don't have a gun for self-defense, for my family, I'm irresponsible? That is exactly what I'm saying. That is exactly what I'm saying. How do you plan to protect them? Hope? Really? Give me a break. 866-TALK-GUN. I'm Tom Gresham. We'll be right back.
Have you just purchased your first firearm? Millions of Americans have made personal protection a priority, and Smith & Wesson has created a resource to welcome first-time gun owners into the firearms community. It's called Smith & Wesson Gun Smarts. Hosted on Smith & Wesson's YouTube channel, the Gun Smarts video series covers a variety of training topics. Become a confident, responsible gun owner. Visit Smith & Wesson on YouTube and see what Gun Smarts has for you.
It's time for a thanks giveaway. Grand prizes include the Daniel Defense DD-M4 V7 in 5.56 NATO or the Brownells BRN 180S Gen 2 Complete Upper in 300 Blackout, paired with a custom double-star lower receiver with strong arm pistol brace for easy compact storage. Eight first prize winners will receive either a Hodgdon product voucher or a gift certificate to Timney Triggers. Enter now through December 4th at guntalk.com/win.
Introducing the all-new St. Victor from Springfield Armory. Our versatile line of battle-ready configurations designed for serious shooters and built on the rock-solid St. platform for unwavering reliability. Available in carbine-length rifle, SBR, and pistol configurations, each St. Victor is purpose-built and loaded with features to deliver ultimate performance under extreme conditions. The all-new St. Victor from Springfield Armory. Never a victim. Always the victor.
We're back with you, but I don't know how long, because we've got major windstorms going on in Ohio, and power is out. So if we go quiet here, you'll know what happened, because we're on generator power at this point. We'll see what happens. So, but if you want to join us, 866-TALK-GUN will get you in here. Fred's with us out of Kansas on line one. Hey, Fred, what's going on in Kansas?
Well, I just wanted to say two things. One, I believe that the Democrats stole the election for Trump, but the biggest thing I called in is there are Trump signs and American flags still. I traveled the state of Kansas, still up, and everybody like honk for Trump. I know 6 to 8 pickups in our local area that still have Trump signs on it, and everybody still supports Trump, no matter what they say.
Yeah, I was driving, what was it, Friday, from the New Orleans area over to Austin, Texas area, which is a pretty good little 8-hour drive.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of Trump signs in yards, on fences, on poles, on cars, and especially flying from pickup trucks everywhere I went. So
yeah.
There's an awful lot of people who have not given up on this.
I agree with you.
I'm in this weird place where, you know, I like to have data. I like to have evidence. And yet, people say, well, what's your evidence? I don't actually have any. But I agree with you. I think that if this election goes to Biden, and I think it probably is going to, I'm afraid it is, I agree. It is my belief, and I will probably never be able to shake it, that it was stolen, that there was enough nefarious stuff going on that stole the election. And I'll never be able to prove it. And once it gets certified, the discussion really is over at that point. Now you're just grousing online and you're making noise. And at a certain point, here's a question for you. At a certain point, just go with me with this, okay? We got to play this game. Assume that it does turn out that Biden gets certified and he gets elected and Biden-Harris is in. We have to at some point say, okay, we can't keep fighting that fight because that one's over. We've got to turn around and say, what's the next fight? How long do you think people are going to hold on to this stolen campaign, stolen election idea, or will gun owners especially turn around and say, okay, we got to get back into this fight because we got a lot of stuff at risk here? Uh-oh.
Well, I think that well, we a long time. Hillary said for 4 years that Trump stole it from her. And she's still saying that.
Yep.
I don't know. There's so much support in Kansas for Trump. I mean, you can't go any place. There's small signs of Trump to 4x6s. Some people are flying flags from their post, from their mailboxes, and an American flag
right.
is almost copying Trump sign. That shows you how strong we are.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you say that because I have that feeling the American flag has become almost a Trump sign. And isn't that a sad thing that it wouldn't be flown by both sides? Thank you for the call, Fred. I appreciate that, sir. Bill's with us out of South Carolina on two. Hey, Bill, you're on Gun Talk.
Tom, it's Bill. It's North Carolina. That's fine.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say that I sent about $150 to a bunch of people at Second Amendment and Grassroots.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to spend the money on fighting the fight. I don't want a thank you note. I don't want an expensive plaque telling me I'm a great guy. I just want you to spend the money on the issue.
Yeah, that's a great point. What's the expectation? When I send money to Second Amendment Foundation or the NRA or whoever, I don't want a plaque, which I think, honestly, in many cases, is just a way of saying, hey, we want this on the wall so that, you know, next time we hit you up for money, you'll remember us.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. Here's my question for you right now. I'm going to put you on the spot. Since you're giving money to groups, would you give money to help these two Republican Senate candidates in Georgia with their runoff races?
Well, I used to work politics, and I've had a little mixed luck with that. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Well, you know, sometimes when I give money or my time, when the going got tough, the politicians quit. So,
well, in this case, it's basically...
In this case,
it's basically deciding who's going to control the Senate. Is it going to be Charles Schumer? Or is it going to be Mitch McConnell? I mean, it really is that. And if it's Schumer, then they get to do anything they want. The Biden-Harris campaign on all their gun control promises, they get to do whatever they want if they get control of the Senate.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, for sure. It's just, everybody in the world hitting you up for money, and there's 100 places it could go. And I guess we just have to choose our battles.
The grassroots here
is probably my best choice.
I don't care where you live. I can't think of a better place to put the money than into these Georgia races, because no matter where you live, the Georgia Senate races are going to determine what happens to your Second Amendment rights.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. Good way to look at it.
I mean, whatever happens in the Senate, and look, I appreciate the call, sir. I do want to jump onto this, though. I'm looking at some of the quotes from Joe Biden just saying this. It's long overdue that we take action to end the scourge of gun violence in America. This is Joe Biden. As president, I will ban assault weapons and high-powered magazines. Introduce universal background checks and other sensible reforms to end our epidemic of gun violence. It's kind of all of the buzzwords from the gun ban lobby. He says he would ban offensive weapons, ban high-performance magazines, and introduce universal background checks to counter what he calls America's gun violence epidemic. You know, before COVID, before the defund the police, before the riots, crime kept going down and down and down and down and down. Murders were down. Crime was down. Crime with guns was down. Selling more guns, but crime was down. Now, yeah, sure. You get the riots. You get arson. You get murders. You get looting. You get people cutting back on the police departments and then saying, gee, our crime's going up. You think? It's like critical thinking not really part of your makeup here, I'm thinking. So we don't have to wonder. Biden has said very clearly he's going to ban our semi-automatic firearms. Make no mistake. Here's the thing I want you to understand. People say, well, Tom, you're just exaggerating. I'm really not. When they say they want to ban semi-automatic firearms, they're not talking about just AR-15s. They're talking about semi-automatic firearms. Not rifles, not shotguns, not pistols, all of them. And occasionally they'll say, look, any semi-automatic gun that can take a magazine that will hold more than 10 rounds is an assault weapon. Well, that would be a 1911 pistol. Or a Beretta 92. Or, gee, let's see, absolutely any semi-automatic pistol that takes a magazine. Because you could have a magazine that holds more than 10 rounds, so that makes it, in their view, an assault weapon. And don't for a minute think, well, that didn't make any sense. They're not right. You're not thinking about this the right way. Think about this. Think about the worst person you know. Imagine the worst person you know with the worst motives you can imagine, who has absolutely no compunction about doing whatever it takes to get their way. That's the person who is pushing this. That's the person who is saying, we can keep expanding this phony word, this assault weapons term, and take in as much as we can get away with. Now, later on, we'll come back for more. But you know, if all we can get is the ARs, we'll take that. We'll take the ARs. We'll take semi-automatic rifles. If we can include, oh, geez, lever actions, oh, we could do that. And they do. If we can include semi-automatic shotguns and call them assault shotguns, we'll do that. And, of course, we want to get the handguns. Of course, that's where the real problem is. We've got to take away all the handguns. It's not that they don't know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. This is all part of the plan. They're actually, I mean, we have only two things going for us right now, honestly. One, we've got the Supreme Court, which we don't want to have to use that, because when you get to that point, it means you've lost all the way up to that point, and you're hoping on that 3% chance that they'll actually take the case in the first place, and then you don't know what's going to happen when they take the case. But they kick out 97% of the cases that are appealed to the Supreme Court. They don't even take them. We have that going on. And we also, of course, have the Georgia race. The two races, actually. Two runoff races. I'm sorry, you are going to get tired of me saying it. I'm going to get tired of saying it. But we are now no longer looking at 50 races or 100 races or 400 races. We're looking at two races. Two races for all the marbles. And I don't care where you live. People say, well, I'm not in Georgia. Wake up. Because what happens in Georgia will determine what happens in the U.S. Senate, which will determine what happens as to whether you can actually even buy the gun you want. If they can even make the gun you want. If you can even keep the guns that you currently own. I'm not making this stuff up. It is that bad. I'm Tom Gresham. This is Gun Talk. And we're back with you, Tom Gresham, 866-TALK-GUN, or call me at Tom Talk Gun. Don't forget to check us out. We have a very active Facebook page. Look for Gun Talk. Also, of course, you can look at our videos on Twitter. Let's see, YouTube. I mean, everywhere, basically anywhere you can find videos. Amazon Fire, Apple TV, Roku, goes on, all the over-the-top systems. Just look for Gun Talk everywhere. We do have a Gun Talk app. We have the Gun Dealio app. We have a lot of ways for you to check us out. So just go to guntalk.com. We've got them all there. That's the kind of the landing pad for everything there. Again, our number here, 866-TALK-GUN. We're open lines. Joining us right now is Clinton has called out of California on line three, that is. Clinton, what's going on? You sound like you're pretty far away from a big city here.
Am I? Well, yeah, I'm a truck driver, so I go off and down the I-5 corridor.
Okay.
I worry about my home, you know. My wife is back home all alone, you know. And, you know, she's there. I mean, we're up in the mountains and stuff, and, you know, the closest time to go from where the cops are to my house, the quickest you could possibly get there, I mean, if they literally got the call and started heading east immediately,
mm-hmm.
they could probably be there maybe 30 minutes. Maybe.
Wow.
So it's like, what is she supposed to do? Shout at them? I mean, yell at them?
What is she set up to do? What have you guys agreed when you're away and she's home alone? What is her system?
She's armed.
Okay.
But if they take away our guns, what are we supposed to do? I guess we got two dogs, but what good is that got to do if they come in with guns themselves? You know?
Let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you the loaded question, so to speak. If there were an order that said you had to turn in your guns, what would you do?
I would say I would turn my guns if you outlaw crime.
Oh wait, I think they already did that. They made it crime. Illegal.
What good has that done?
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, And I have kind of come to the conclusion, and people say, oh, you shouldn't say this publicly. I would not turn in my guns. There's no way in the world. People say, well, they'll send people to take them. They're going to need a lot of people. I'm sorry. I'm a law-abiding guy. I support the police. But if you said, I'm sorry, Mr. Gresham, you're going to have to turn in all your guns, and you're going to have to depend upon the state for your security, to take care of yourself, and for us to take care of your wife, and we're going to take care of your grandchildren when they're there, and we'll show up whenever it's convenient for us, assuming we don't have too many calls. I'm not willing to do that. I suspect a lot of people are not going to be willing to do that. And yes, I do. This is not bravado and chest thumping and I'm going to stand in the door and all that. No, I fully comprehend what that means. Don't think for a minute that I have not thought this through, okay? I will not comply. Dell is in Lewiston, Idaho on line 5. Talk about these the idea of 19 and 20-year-olds having, well, we were talking about this lawsuit where it would allow them to purchase handguns. What are your thoughts here, Dell?
Well, at 18 and 19 and 20, I worked on Polaris and Poseidon nuclear weapons. And I was a launch operator supervisor at the age of 19. So I think they should be.
So you okay? If you could shoot a nuke off, you probably ought to be able to have a 22 handgun.
Yeah, there you go.
It is kind of bizarre when you actually start thinking about the idea that it's legal for an 18, 19, or 20-year-old to buy a rifle, semi-automatic rifle, whatever, but you can't buy a handgun from a licensed gun store. You could own one, which is the weird part. You can legally own a handgun if you're 18, 19, or 20, but you can't buy one. That makes no sense. Well, I mean, that's just one of those deals that we got to fix the law. That's really what it amounts to. And that's why the Second Amendment Foundation, the Firearms Policy Coalition, and the Louisiana Shooting Association have gotten together. They filed suit in Louisiana, and they have a couple of plaintiffs who are between 18 and 20 who would like to be able to buy handguns, and they can't. So we're going to challenge this law and see if we can get it declared unconstitutional, because that's what we think it is. Thanks, Dell. I appreciate that. Yeah, I love that. He's got nukes there, but he can't buy a handgun. Ben's in Bossier City out of on line 1. Ben, Bossier City, what's going on in the architects?
Warmer weather than it ought to be for mid-November, but
I hear you.
I called in, on your current train of thought there, you know. I don't know if people have considered the fact that there's no way that they can or they will come knocking on your door nationwide to say, I'm here to get your weapons. It's not going to happen that way. They're going to come out there and totally ban the manufacture, possession, sales of ammunition and render about 50%, I dare say, of our country's gun-toting public toothless. They'll be wall hangers. So they didn't think ahead.
And they didn't buy ammo.
I ain't gonna tell anybody how much of what I got. I'm just going to say I got enough of every caliber I have to last as long as I think I will in any given situation.
Well, I appreciate it, Ben. Thank you, sir. Let's see here. Let's do this. Take a quick break. Harry, don't go anywhere. We're going to get to you when we come back. We do have room for anybody else. If you'd like to join us, our number is 866-TALK-GUN. I'm Tom Gresham. This is Gun Talk.
A passion for shooting and hunting has driven product innovation at Hodgson Powder Company since 1947. Innovations like black powder substitutes, muzzle-loading pellets, and smokeless powder features like anti-copper fouling agents or temperature insensitivity. A family business from the beginning, Hodgson Powder Company is the largest U.S. supplier of smokeless black powder and black powder substitute propellants distributed under the Hodgson, IMR, Winchester, Pyrodex, 777, and GoX brands. Hodgson Powder Company, the gunpowder people.
In 2020, Brownells continues its tribute to Eugene Stoner, the legendary designer of the AR-15, AR-180, and more. The What Would Stoner Do 2020 rifle answers the question of what Stoner would have done with modern lightweight materials. Inspired by another Stoner design, Brownells BRN-180 lower receivers help complete firearms optimized for folding stocks or pistol braces. Visit Brownells.com today and pay tribute to one of America's greatest firearm engineers.
Find the freedom to go where you want, not where you're told, with the feature-loaded FN-503, a slimline 9mm tailor-made for concealed carry. And with its best-in-class trigger, soft recoil, and extended mag, it promises superior control, comfort, and consistency for those seeking an everyday carry with uncompromising reliability. The FN-503. Carry the future from the innovators behind the world's most battle-proven firearms. Visit FNAmerica.com to learn more.
I have a concern. I had a couple of callers who say, you know, I've been buying ammo, I've stocked up on ammo, I got ammo. And I understand that, I get that, that's nothing wrong with that. At the same time, what I'm not hearing is people calling in saying, hey, yeah, you're right, Tom, I'm contributing to those Senate races down in Georgia, because I understand that that really, we stop those efforts to take away our guns if we win those two. I could put $50 or $100 into that, and I know that that is money well spent. But what I'm hearing is I'm buying more guns, I'm buying more ammo. What I would like to be able to hear is people saying, thank you, Tom. I went to winred.com. I made a donation there. I think I'm going to maybe set it up for a weekly donation or whatever I can put in. $50, $100, $500. Hey, I don't care. People say, well, I'm going to buy me a new gun. How about put that off for just a minute? Maybe for a couple of months. And put that money into those races. Because if we win those, nobody's going to come banning your guns. Let me make sure you heard what I just said. If we win those races, it's only two, nobody comes after your guns. Oh. You mean if I give money to those and we win those races, nobody comes after my guns? Oh, I didn't think of that. Huh. How about that? We have two Senate races in a runoff in the state of Georgia. It's a weird deal. Unusual. But the balance of the Senate is right there. If the Democrats win them, they get control of the Senate. Chuck Schumer now becomes the majority leader. He makes the rules. He makes the appointments to the committees. And Joe Biden and Kamala Harris get the gun ban agenda that they're promising us, that they promised us for a long time. Are you, straight up question. I'm not even embarrassed to ask it. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to make a donation? 866-TALK-GUN. Let's see. Harry's with us out of Colorado on line two. Hello, Harry. You're on Gun Talk. What's cooking?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Sure. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just saying, you know, there's a lot of ways these Democrats are going to get around banning the guns. First of all, they're going to tax the ammunition so much that the average shooter, for example, I was telling the lady that answered the call originally, my son-in-law, both my daughters, my four grandkids, we all shoot. I live on 42 acres. We have a gun range. Mm-hmm. And yesterday I drove 74 miles from where I live into my previous gun range
which is called Blue Corps in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And they saved me 12 boxes of 9mm because my step-grandson in South Dakota has been from Brookings to Sioux Falls, all over the state trying to buy ammunition. And he just bought a new 9mm, and they gave him a whole 20 rounds when he bought the gun.
Right.
And they said that's all they could afford to give him. But I went and bought 12 boxes of 9, and they had 16 on the shelf. And the only reason they sold them to me was because I was a previous range member.
Okay,
I moved out to the country.
Let me ask you a question, Harry, and I apologize, but I'm just going to put you on the spot. Would you also make a donation to win those Senate races in Georgia as a way of making sure that we don't have ammo problems in the future?
Well, you know, we can give them all the money in the world, but I'll tell you, you got guys moving into the state trying to ramrod the Democrats' agenda, and I realize that it's going to be a uphill battle. I'm hoping we can at least split. But if Chuck Schumer gets in with the backing of Pelosi after losing the Senate, and even if we tied the Senate, she has the deciding vote.
No, actually, so she doesn't. Actually, Kamala Harris has the deciding vote in the Senate.
Well, she would have the deciding vote, yes.
Yes. Okay. So I'm back to my question, and you're right. Your description of this is correct. Would you give money to make sure that doesn't happen?
Yeah, I would. I'm retired. I'm 68 years old. My wife's 70, and we're both avid shooters. But yeah, I'd give a large portion of what I have left.
Okay. There's a website called WinRed, WINRED. That's where you go and you make the donation, and it'll say for the Georgia Senate races. So I don't care if you put in the cost of a box of ammo or the cost of a Chevy truck. I don't care. But whatever you could put in there for each of us, it's not enough for us to say, oh, they're going to do this and they're going to do that and this is the plan and all that. If we're all not doing anything, then they do have a chance of winning. But if we all get off our rear ends and write a check, or in this case, use a credit card, we win. I mean, it really is. We will give some money.
I agree with that, but you know that this whole election was rigged.
I do not doubt that in the least. I can't do anything about that. But this one thing,
I can't, but
you and I can do something about this other thing. We can prevent the loss of the Senate. And the loss of the Senate means if we lose that, then we get more gun control. We get gun bans, we get gun confiscation. We get the stopping of the importation of firearms and firearms parts. They blocked the sale, believe it or not, the sale of even gun parts on the internet. You couldn't be able to go to Brownells and buy a spring because that's part of the Joe Biden gun ban plan. I mean, this is like, okay, this is the one thing we can do, and we know we can win this one. I don't know. I appreciate it. I know what you're saying, and I realize I'm sounding frustrated, and it's because I'm frustrated, because what I'm not hearing, and thank you for the call, Harry, what I'm not hearing from gun owners is, I'm on board. I'm there. We're going to fight the fight. We're going to win this thing. We can win. This is all focused down to these two races. It's right now. This is the whole deal. Clark Apotian was just sending me a note. Says, hey, you could go to their websites, these senators. I said, yeah, it's actually easier if you just go to WinRed, WINRED.com. I think Jim just did it. We'll talk about it in the after show. It's easy. And somebody said, well, I don't want to give out my credit card. Really? Seriously? When was the last time somebody stole money from your credit card because you bought something online? Never? Oh, yeah, that. I don't know. The silence is deafening at this point, and that is disheartening. Are you on board? 866-TALK-GUN. All right, back with you, 866-TALK-GUN. Scott's with us out of Enid, Oklahoma, on 3. Hey, Scott, what's on your mind, sir?
Hey, sir, I just want to let you know, first of all, your message is getting out. I actually did donate last week. when you brought it up on the show. Before the show was over, I made the donation.
Thank you so much. I sure appreciate it, Scott.
With my next paycheck, I'm making another one. Thank you so much. Your method is working, and don't get discouraged. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay. So what's on your mind here?
This is making these donations is just part of something we can do. We have to do all we can do. People always say, well, I don't know what to do. Just do that. Okay. And here's another reason, because it ain't just about our guns being at stake here. It's about free press. I've heard a couple of comments lately, just on Friday, on the mainstream that are signaling that they're going to come after the internet and talk radio and voices like yours.
Oh, yeah.
Stifle dissent. And here's one. On Friday, I was actually able to stomach Jimmy Kimmel's monologue. And he made a comment. I'm paraphrasing here. But he said the internet is a horrible thing because it caused all this crap about the election. And then I just heard an interview from Obama. And here's a quote from it. It said, King asked, 72 million people voted for Donald Trump. What does that say about the state of this country? Obama said, well, it says that we are all still deeply divided. The power of that, quote, alternative worldview that's presented in the media to those that voters that consume it carries a lot of weight. He says, well, what are you worried about? He says, it's very hard for our democracy to function if we are all operating on just completely different sets of facts. Just like Obamacare, they want single payer there. They're going to have a single
set of facts.
Information from the government.
Yes, and now what they're doing is listen to how many times they use the word misinformation. Whether it's on Twitter, they're blocking. Say, well, this is misinformation, and Facebook says this is misinformation. In other words, it's information that we don't like and we don't approve. And now we have the ability to shut it down because only approved information is going to be allowed to be distributed. And honestly, that was what was happening 25 years ago when talk radio really took off and when I started this show, is because you had newspapers and TV who were controlling the distribution of information, and the internet was in its infancy, and talk radio was a run around it, and that's what made talk radio work so well. And it's why they have hated it ever since, because they can't control it. And honestly, this group of people, this mindset, this cabal, they're all about control. And if they can't control you, then they must destroy you. And they're frankly not at all bashful about setting out to destroy people. And of course, that's what the whole cancel culture is about. It's, we're going to deny you your ability to speak out. Then we're going to deny you your ability to eat at public restaurants and shout you down. And then we're going to deny you the ability to actually have a job. And then if you actually worked for the Trump campaign, we're going to build a list of offenders, and you will be on the official list. I don't know if they're going to make you wear a star on your shirt, but they're building the list of people who supported Trump. And Esquire just had a piece, and they said, now we know how many racists there are in the United States. There are 72 million racists in the United States. They're not kidding. They do think that way, and they do think that the ends justify the means. The only question is, are you going to get on board? Are you going to complain about it online? Or are you going to make a donation? Go to winred.com. Make a donation to these two Georgia Senate races. We'll talk about it more as we go along. If you'd like to continue the conversation, if you'd like to be part of it, join us right now for the after show. Call us 866-TALK-GUN. In the meantime, be safe, take care of your family, watch your six, carry a gun, get training, and never, ever, ever give up.